Welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderers. As always, it's Isaac Wilhelmy.
And Rockwell Peterson.
And it's just us two in the studio for today. And the topic we're going to talk about is why we should reopen the economy.
Exactly. We're open to cover this in depth, give our opinions on it, and kind of give you guys an idea as to why we should reopen the economy and kind of the pros and cons to doing so.
Yeah. And let's get started.
Okay, so as far as opening thoughts, I definitely think we should reopen the economy.
Oh yeah.
Now there's a lot of reasons behind it, but just as a starting ground, I'm talking full reopening of the economy, every aspect of it, but done slowly over time in order to ensure that we don't have another spike. You know, do it cautiously.
Yeah.
But get everything up and running again. You know, we should have it open. Everything should be open before the end of summer, in my opinion.
Like, we definitely shouldn't just open it and just boom.
Yeah.
Send everything out. We just gradually, like you said. Yeah. Because we don't want to spike. We don't want to mess up the economy more than it is now.
So. Oh, yeah. Well, the reasons why we should do it on the most fundamental level. I get it. Everyone's pretty scared of catching coronavirus and possibly dying. Now, as more information comes out, you know, I'm not denying that it's a scary virus. I'm just saying that the death rates are not nearly as high as we thought they'd be. And the UN has predicted that 130 million people will starve if we don't reopen the economy.
Yeah.
Now, the total population of the U.S., last time I checked, mind you, was about 363.7 million people.
Yeah, so that's about a third.
Over a third.
Over a third of America.
Will starve.
Gone.
Well, even if they don't starve to death, they will starve.
Yeah.
And then one in five suicides is because of unemployment, and I think unemployment is up to 30% now.
It's probably, well, technically, yeah. But it's higher because of the people who haven't applied for unemployment.
Oh, yeah.
So it's way higher than 30%.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
And that's what I'm talking about, where we are hitting a point where we are losing more people to having the economy closed than we are to the coronavirus.
Yeah. If you statistically look at it in America's view, not the whole world.
Yeah.
Because we're looking at reopening the economy for America.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a lot more than the virus.
Absolutely. And not only that, but also you got to consider this is the first time I think we've ever fully shut down our economy.
Yeah.
Because of a virus. It may be the only time we fully shut down our economy, period. Was
there?
There may have been, but not that I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, and, I mean, economics class, they didn't say anything about it, so
I mean, there was the swine flu in, I want to say 2008.
Yeah, the recession.
Yeah.
Is what we called it.
Well, no, the recession happened economically, but we had a virus, the swine flu, come through.
But
it was during the recession.
Yeah.
And hit a bunch of people really hard, but we didn't close the economy. We hardly did anything about it.
It just crashed.
Yeah.
It just made the economy crash real hard.
Yeah, but it wasn't even because of the virus. It was just a housing bubble and the collapse of that. But
yeah.
Regardless, we had the Spanish flu in the 20s, 1920s. We didn't close the economy then. It's referred to as the Roaring 20s. The economy was great regardless. So don't get me wrong, we've talked about it before. I think having a yearly, like, month of quarantine, not even quarantine, but just social distancing, and everyone just takes that time off work, everyone just kind of hangs out, would be good. I think that would be really, really good for people and the environment. We just need to do it carefully, because another thing about reopening the economy is, I've shown you some of the videos. There are monkeys fighting in the streets of Thailand.
Yeah, that is insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
If you haven't seen it, look it up. because there are like hundreds of monkeys that basically fight each other over scraps of food because tourists who used to feed them aren't coming through anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but in New York, because we don't, like, the foot traffic isn't as heavy as it used to be, they estimate that there's about 2 million rats in New York.
Ooh.
Like, New York City, New York, like Manhattan.
Yeah.
2 million. And you can look it up on this one, too. There are videos of just rats roving the streets.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, they're looking for food. And so they're broad daylight, just packs of them. And some of them can get to the size of small cats. 2 million small cats.
Gross. I'd rather have monkeys than rats, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd take a monkey and try and train it. Make it my own. I've always wanted a monkey pet.
Go to Thailand, grab
a monkey and just, hey, Jimmy. Hey, Jerry.
You want food? Come here, boys. Come here. Get in the suitcase.
Oh, no. His name's definitely going to be George. Curious George.
Oh, dude.
I wouldn't cut his tail off, but no.
Just to be certain, just for a legal basis, we are not advocating going to Thailand and taking a monkey as a pet. Please do not do this. For legal reasons, this is a joke. George, be quiet.
Not smart at all.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, just don't worry about George.
Don't worry about George in the background.
Anyway, carry on.
Well, yeah, I just, on a deep level, I understand why it could be an issue. I understand that infection rates are high, even if deaths are low.
Yeah.
I get it that it's scary, and I get that people don't want to be sick. Mm-hmm. But you also need to realize, like, 1 in 6 Wendy's is completely out of beef.
Yeah. I heard that.
Like that's
we're running out of food.
That's ridiculous to me. And people are like, oh, just move on to the next food source. And I'm like, no, running out of one food source does not mean just switch to another one. And don't deal with the problem.
Exactly.
Don't deal with the reality of what you're dealing with. Because it's like, it's all fun and games now when you see people fighting over, you know, like toilet paper.
Mm.
But just imagine what'll happen when humans start fighting over food.
Yeah.
Especially in big, dense cities. I think that's one of the worst place you could be right now.
Like those monkeys.
Yeah.
Like
just...
It's going to be, like, the scale of the monkeys
times
10,000
when
it comes to humans.
Exactly. Like, millions of people fighting over food and migrating to places where there are food that aren't capable
of that much.
Of that much. Because Rapid City alone is on track to double its population within, you know, the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
We're a population of about 70-plus thousand people.
Yeah.
We're trying to kick people out and stop them from moving here at this point because our water grid isn't built to handle that many people.
Mm.
So we'll kind of run out of water, and part of that is some of the housing developments out by the airport are so irradiated because of uranium mining and because of the nukes underground here that people can't shower.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's insane, but...
Like you mentioned the nukes. Like, if you shower in that, you're gonna be, like, a mutant human.
Well, we're some of the most mutated people in the entire country, and possibly even the world here in the Midwest, because we have nuclear fallout raining down on us. Like, radioactive materials raining down on us, and it's in our food, it's in our water, because of nuclear testing that they did.
Mm.
And so, like, when the Manhattan Project was going... They dropped these bombs in the desert, right? Well, the trade winds, I believe, pick it up and just dropped it on the Midwest. And so the nation's breadbasket is now irradiated.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you'll see...
So we basically are...
Yeah.
Mutants.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Up
and,
in the Midwest.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Ooh. And not only that, but I've noticed that people here... seem to die more frequently of random things, you know, like a heart attack at a really young age or cancer at weird times. Like it's
like a stroke.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
it's just stuff that happens to us here at a higher frequency because we're irradiated.
Mm.
It takes the random chance of that happening.
And increases it.
And increases it, yeah.
That makes sense.
Wow.
Anyway, back to
the little economy. Endorsement not to move here as we were covering migration. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. Leave us be here.
Yeah. We can't handle you here.
Anyway, look, I want to go back to where you said Wendy's, 1 in 6 Wendy's are running out of beef.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, people are like, oh, just switch to a different food resource. Okay, if we were to do that, yeah, let's say chicken.
Yeah.
Let's switch to chicken and not fix our beef problem. What's going to happen?
We run out of chicken.
We run out of chicken.
At a faster rate than we're running out of beef.
Yeah. And then, if we keep doing that, we're going to go on and on, say, pork next. We run out of pork, and then we run out of everything.
Yep.
If we do not fix the problem.
Oh, yeah. If we don't reopen the economy, it's just, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
It just is. Now, we'll come back to this in just a second. We're going to go to a quick ad break.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we went over a bit why we should reopen the economy. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's only fair if we discuss the cons of reopening the economy.
Yeah.
You know, you have the risk, you run the risk of a high infection rate. You run the risk that a lot of people will be infected, and it will cause the spike that we were expecting. But, you know, we've seen in Sweden that you build up that herd immunity because they didn't close anything, and they're already done. They're fine.
Yeah.
And so, but that is one of the cons, you know, is that that could theoretically happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but they're worried about the deaths that will come from it. They're worried about companies and businesses not being able to start up that quickly, and so they'll be kind of understaffed, they'll be undersupplied, and everything will need to start working again, but some of the things that are ready to go won't have the supplies necessary to go, and so that's another thing. And honestly, I have my own theory upon why they want to keep it closed, just from things that I've seen and information that I've gathered.
And what's that?
I think it's that the left, I'm talking like societal culture war, left and right.
Yeah.
Because like we've covered before, I'm a classical liberal. It's not like I'm a super hardcore conservative. I'm a rationalist, and right now I side with the cultural right over the cultural left, and so I get the feeling that the cultural left wants to keep the economy closed, because the longer it's closed, the more people aren't able to pay their bills, the more people who are living paycheck to paycheck can't survive, and so they need a universal basic income. They need you know, they need people to say, hey, we want the government to provide for us, to give us money, because if this happens again, I'll lose everything.
So with a, like you said, universal basis income?
Yeah.
Does that mean, like, if they do reopen it and get that, does that mean everyone will have the same, like, money wage?
It depends upon how they do it. But some of the plans I've seen proposed would basically be that every person over 18 would get a certain amount of money.
And
you could work outside of that. In some of them, other things you couldn't work, really, which doesn't make much sense to me. But in the ones that are more rational that you can work outside of that, it's basically just supplementing your income. But at the same time, they need to tax you at a higher rate, so you don't actually end up making more or less money.
Yeah.
But that's something they've been pushing, and the longer the economy's closed, the closer we come to people saying, hey, I may not agree with it, but I need it.
Yeah. People are gonna, healthcare. People are going to rely on the government.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so the more control that they can have, you know, the government can have, the happier they'll be.
Mm.
But as a citizen, I just can't get behind too much government control and power.
Yeah, I can't either. Because that's scary.
Yeah.
Having people control you, like, your whole life, basically. How you live and how much you make. I mean, they kind of do that, but, like, put that to an extreme.
And not only that, but Trump raised the median household income $4,000 over 3 years. The economy mm-hmm. had never been better.
Yeah.
Obama, over 8 years, raised it $1,000. Mm-hmm. So you got to realize that it's like, if Joe Biden comes back, his main running platform is, I was vice president to Obama. And I'm not saying that Obama did a bad job. He was kind of dealt a bad, you know, deck of cards.
Yeah.
But it was also a lot of mediocrity. Mm. He didn't get a whole lot done. Mm-hmm. Whereas Trump is moving super fast, and I don't agree with everything that he says.
Oh, no.
But the results that he's had make me believe that should we reopen the economy, which I think we should, he's the man to be able to improve it, to get it back to where it should be, to help it out. Because his policies have been proven to work.
Yeah. I mean, he's already done a great job for our economy so far. Like in these, almost 4 years now?
Exactly. And so that's what I'd like to see,
mm-hmm.
is a re-election, because it may not... He may not be the nicest guy.
Yeah.
You know, he may not be the smartest, but he gets the job done. And that's the thing, where I have yet to see a whole lot of actual complaints levied at him, and it's mostly just been name-calling.
Mm.
Ignorant, stupid, dumb. It's like, well, no, give me something with substance. Give me something that I can discuss
mm-hmm.
this with you.
And I feel like Trump gets a lot of hate from, like, his speeches and not his policies.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, like, his policies have been working.
Yeah.
Like, really well so far.
Oh, absolutely.
But just his speeches, like, everywhere, a lot of people, like, what do you call it?
Cherry pick? Or take sound bites?
Yeah, sound bites, cherry pick. Yeah. Certain words that he says and just twist them. Or like,
well, I've seen it happen myself, and I get it, it's anecdotal, but I've seen it. Mm. Where I was at a speech that Trump was giving down in Florida.
Okay.
And essentially what happened was, he said something, and he kind of pointed at the cameras as a joke that were in the back from the media, and he's like, they're going to take this as a soundbite. And you know what happened?
They did. Oh, wow.
They cut out the, they're going to take this as a soundbite.
So he called it.
He 100% called it.
Wow.
And so they take this soundbite from the speech that I was at completely out of context.
Mm. Yeah, see, that's what they do. And I see them run
it, trying to trash it. And that's what I'm saying. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah, that's insane. That's, they don't, see, that's why I hate people, or I don't hate people. I just dislike people on how they perceive Trump as a bad way because of these soundbites.
Yeah, it's crazy because CNN won't let him actually broadcast to the people live. They interpret his speech as it's going for the people, as if the people aren't smart enough to understand it and shouldn't be seeing it, and they twist a bunch of things that he says and then try and hurt him with the numbers that they just got from his speech.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some other networks are actually running his broadcast, but, you know, the president is there, and like him or not, he is speaking to you. You know, he cares about you. And so if you listen to the speeches, it'll help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you'll get all the content.
Yeah, you'll get the context. And you can do with that what you want. You can continue to hate him, but hate him for reason.
Exactly. Not because of what you saw.
Exactly.
A soundbite or something like that.
Exactly.
And like, yeah, you can disagree with his policies
too. Oh yeah, 100%.
Just be sure you have a reason to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that pretty much wraps up our episode.
Pretty much. Just a little short one for today.
Yeah, nothing too big. We just broke 500 plays.
Dude, like, that's insane.
I know.
Thank you for that, guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It means the world. And like we said, if we hit 1,000 views, we'll start a YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun. And, yeah, we'd love to hear your questions. Thomas Dillon, we did get your question, and we will be doing that episode answering your question Tuesday.
Or tomorrow. Just as soon as possible.
As soon as possible, honestly. Yeah. It's going to be Sunday or Tuesday, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'd love to receive more questions and topics from you guys. We'd love to, you know, connect and talk with you. We'd love to hear from you guys. You can follow us and reach out to us at our email, ponderosaponderers@gmail.com,
mm-hmm.
or our Instagram, ponderosa_ponderers. And like I said, we'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. Give us a follow.
Yeah.
Send us some messages. Ask us questions.
Yeah.
We can either answer them on the podcast or just in the message.
And we'd love to have you on the podcast, too.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd love to hear from you, good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm. No matter what. We just want to hear your opinion.
Each and every one of you matters to us. And
yeah.
Stay safe during these times. And, well, keep pondering.